Thank you, Scott. Let me invite you again to open to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This time of year, with the cool nights, always signals the excitement as we see all the football teams, especially our local high school teams, begin their rivalry. This church is a united congregation, and I'm grateful for that. But if I wanted to throw the cat among the pigeons, all I'd have to do is ask everyone who their loyalties are with on the high school football arena. We have had some great games already. Boy, Parkview really polished off Willard, didn't they? We've got folks on both sides of the fence here. You know, we're thrilled for Jeff, but we're sort of sad for the Brumfields. Newcomers to Willard. We've got all kinds of these rivalries that are going on. And some of you have been on championship sports teams, and you know how good it feels to be on a winning team that has a perfect record. Some of you in sales or business organizations have been with winning teams, and you know the sense of pride that goes with being part of a first-class organization. But you know, when it comes to the church, as this body of believers gathers together, we are all on the very same team. In Scripture, when you boil it all down, the story of salvation only knows two groups. There are opposing groups. There are those who are on God's team, and then we have one common enemy, and that are those who are on Satan's team. And so as you read the stories of faith in the pages of Scripture, we read about those who have served faithfully on God's team. People like Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and Rahab and Ruth and Esther and all those who stood with God through extremely difficult times. And then we read about the opposite side. And we read about individuals who gave themselves into the hands of Satan. People like Pharaoh and Ahab and Jezebel. And even those who switched sides, like Judas. And you know, those who fought on God's side often played hard, took great risk, were discouraged. At times, they seemed defeated. And nothing really has changed. All through the years, right down until this present time, those of us who take our stand with God are called upon to play hard, to take risks, to make sacrifices, to deal with discouragement. But in the end, we have the assurance that we will stand among the victors with Jesus Christ. Today, this team is called the church. The ecclesia is the Greek word, the called out. And the head of our team is Jesus Christ. He is the only head. Jesus himself said in Matthew 28, "All authority in heaven and on earth is given to me." And Paul would write in Ephesians 1, "God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body." So let's be clear. This church is not a hierarchy. This church belongs to Jesus Christ and to him alone. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the passage which we've turned to and are looking at this morning, if you were in Sunday school this morning, you've already looked at this passage once. Paul argues that the church is a single unit under Christ, made up of many parts, and that no one part is any more important than any other part. And he goes through and he talks about the spiritual gifts. And he says, if you have a spiritual gift, that's nothing to brag about. It was given to you by the Spirit. And the Spirit of God has given each one of you separate gifts. And each one of these is to work together for the building up of the body. Down in verse 7, he says, to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. He talks about the body in verse 12 being a unit. Though it's made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. He says again, down in verse 27, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. So it's this idea of a team. We're team players in the body of Christ. We're all on the same team. under Jesus Christ as our head. You know, God's kingdom is so large that I hope none of us ever feel a sense of pride or egotism or vaunted self-importance. We are one grain of sand on a long stretch of beach that goes all the way back through the time from the beginning of people who have faithfully served God. And the one who is our leader, even himself said, "I came not to be served, but to serve." The one that we serve today became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Paul in Ephesians chapter 4 calls on those who would follow Jesus Christ to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. And he says right after that call to live a life worthy of the calling you've received, he says, be completely humble. That's where it all begins. We all need to recognize we have parts. Some of us have more visible parts than others. Some of us have parts that may be more crucial in some ways than others. But we are all to remain humble in what we have to contribute. Teddy Roosevelt, during the years he was in the White House, often entertained foreign dignitaries and important people and powerful people. And they would often have nice state dinners together. But he had a custom that he enjoyed doing. And he would frequently, at the end of an evening, invite everyone to go out on the lawn of the White House. And they would go outside. And he would point out Pegasus. And the one little light down in the bottom left-hand corner of that configuration in the heavens, and he had a little thing memorized that he would say to that gathered group, and he would say, "That is the spiral galaxy that you're looking at up there in Andromeda. It's as large as our Milky Way. It is one of 100 million such galaxies, and it consists of 100 billion suns, each one larger than our sun." Then he would turn and face that group of important people and flash that famous smile, and he would say, "Now, I think we're all small enough. Let's go on to bed." That's the same response that David had as he sat underneath the heavens and gazed at the handiwork of God and said, "What is man that you're mindful of him?" Now, we're called upon to exercise our gifts within the body. But I have nothing to boast about. I am just an obedient servant in a long, long line of obedient servants within God's kingdom. We need, first of all, to not think of ourselves more highly than we ought. But we also need to recognize the truth. There is an interesting parallel. The way we have had our Bible divided up, they both happen to fall in chapter 12, one in Romans chapter 12, one in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, both written by the same man, and they both deal with very similar subject matter. Back in Romans chapter 12, Paul is talking about the place we occupy in the body, and there in Romans chapter 12, in verse 4, he has this to say, "Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us." And then he begins to list all the different gifts that are there, just as he does in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You know, the amazing truth about the church is that as many people as there are in any one gathering of God's people, everybody is good at something different. We all have varying skill sets. We all have varying gifts that God has given us. And no two are alike. Everybody here is better at something than anybody else is good at. And isn't that amazing how God fits us all together to work in this way? Sometimes I'm afraid that those of us who tend to be up front want to try to make people all like those who preach and teach. And I've been in congregations where we'll have leadership training classes, and we try to get all the men in the congregation to get up and teach or preach, and that tends to frustrate a lot of guys, because not everyone has the same gift as I have. And just because I may have a more vocal part in the congregation, that doesn't give me the right to try to get everybody to do what I do. Because there are those in this congregation that have gifts that I can't even begin to replicate in my own life. And they're not trying to get me to do what they do. So we need to recognize that there is a fundamental difference in the gifts that God has given to the body of Christ, and allow people to run with what they're blessed with and gifted with, and let that gift shine. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul said, it was he who gave some to be apostles, not everyone. It was he who gave some to be prophets, not all. Some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. And I'm afraid that sometimes we frustrate one another in this area. In 1 Corinthians 12, he talks about the essential parts of the human body, our physical body, and the eyes and the ears and all those parts. And then he relates that to the spiritual body in Christ. And he says down in verse 28, and in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, prophets, teachers. And he mentions all these different gifts. And he asks the question, does everyone do any all of these things? And the answer is no, obviously not. No one does all of them, but we each have our role that we play. In verse 27, he says, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Now the church, in God's wisdom, is organized not like we organize our business organizations, like a pyramid where the CEO is the most important guy and he's at the top and he earns the big bucks, and then everybody else falls below with the peons being on the broadest base of the pyramid. That's not the way the church is organized. We are all of equal value. There are no indispensable parts. We are all part of a team. It's an attitude of all for one and one for all. We work together in this way. A number of years ago, a best-selling book in the business community was called High Five. And it was written to help empower leadership and to encourage people to rise to the level of leadership within organizations. And in that book, the story is told of a group of men who coached a boys' ice hockey team. And their motto, and the motto that this book tried to promote, was that none of us is as smart as all of us are. You know, there's that thing of all working together and pooling our intelligence and pooling our talents, and where the whole organization becomes better as a result of that. In Ecclesiastes 4:9, it says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. We call that synergism. The sum is greater than the combined individual efforts. You can get 10 men who can each lift a maximum of 100 pounds. But you put those same 10 men together, and if they combine their efforts, they can double that amount that they lift. Instead of lifting 1,000 pounds individually, they can lift 2,000 pounds. I don't know how that works, but it's true. Combined, a group can do far more than any individual can, or the sum of what those individuals can do. There in Ecclesiastes 4, it goes on to say, if one man falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. I shared this illustration here several years ago, but it's such a good one. I enjoy sharing it again, and I want to share it with you again. I think Jim McGuigan was the one who first talked about it, but it's a sort of a parable about a group of animals who lived in the forest, and they all decided that they were going to together form a university for animals. And so this academy of the animals was formed, and they decided who would be the dean and who would be the teachers, and they all got together, and the squirrel said, well, I want to teach in the tree climbing school. And they said, okay, you'll be head over the tree climbing school. And the fish spoke up. He said, well, I want to be over the swimming program in the school. And they said, well, that makes sense. And the bird said, and I want to teach flying in my department. And the rabbit said, I want to teach running and burrowing into the ground. And they said, well, that's a great place for you to teach. And the eel said, well, I can do something that no one else can, and so I will teach slithering because I slither very well as an eel. And so they all got together and they started this school. And the rabbits who came to the school all got A's in running and burrowing when they went to the rabbit professor's class, but they consistently failed in tree climbing. And although they tried hard, and many of them would climb trees, they fell out of the tree so frequently that they eventually got so they weren't even very good at running. And some of those that were getting F's in tree climbing also ended up getting B's and C's even in their area where they were good, of running and burrowing. And the birds that came to the school, they consistently failed out in burrowing. Try as hard as they could, they ended up damaging their wings. And then when it came time to take their test in flying, they couldn't even fly very well. And they were getting B's and C's even in their areas of expertise. Well, they finally graduated the first class, and the valedictorian was an eel. And he got a poor grade, but he was better than all the others. He did everything kind of, sort of. No one excelled. No one did good. And sometimes we do that in the church, and we try to make everybody do things that they're not gifted to do, and we end up creating a bunch of mediocre folks instead of allowing them to excel in the areas where God has gifted them. We need to find out where we have potential, where we have been gifted of God, and then work in those areas. In chapter 12, back in verses 4 through 7, he clearly says there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. You know, in the church, we've said this before, we have always emphasized here at Sunset the need for every member ministry. And for everybody to get involved somewhere in some way and do what you're good at. And it's going to be different for all of us. But in churches where servants serve, and where leaders lead, and teachers teach, and preachers preach, and deacons deacon, and shepherds shep, and the list goes on and on. And when all of us do what we do best, then that's when the church functions as God intended. We've got a little handbook here, and we keep them at the back there. And every person who is new here gets one of these in their new members packet. And it's simply called Ministry Opportunities at the Sunset Church of Christ. And we have over 50 different ministry opportunities. And you can take one of these home and read through it. And it says in here, work day. Under one of the building and grounds areas, several times each year, volunteers do a variety of odd jobs around the building, from picking up trash to cleaning, painting, other things. We've got angel food ministry. We have Bible studies for those of you that would like to study the Bible with others. Vacation Bible school, teachers, helpers, caretakers, health services people. People who are good at hospitality. I mean, the list goes on and on. And you can find an area somewhere in this little booklet, and if you can't, there may be something that you can do that we've never done here before, and you're welcome to exercise that gift, you know, and help us develop some new areas of ministry here. So there are all kinds of opportunities for service, and we want to continually grow in that and allow people to function where they function the very best. You know, the body of Christ is a very interconnected one. In verse 5 there, he said, "So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." And one thing I want to make really clear here, there is no person who's part of this body who has no purpose. I have visited folks in the nursing home, and they say, "I just don't feel like there's anything I can contribute anymore to the body." And I always say the same thing. I say, "You can pray, can't you?" They say, "Yes." I said, "That's probably the single most important thing any member can do for the body, is to pray regularly for this church and for those in need." The body is interconnected. There are no vestigial organs. We used to think that the tonsils and the appendix were vestigial organs. They had no purpose at all. Science is even beginning to prove that truth. We're finding out parts of the body that we used to think were worthless and not necessary, do have vital functions. And we know that's true in the body of Christ. Every member has an important role to play. You know, we've all experienced what Joyce Strejic is currently experiencing today. You have a bad foot, And so the rest of the body has to come to the rescue. Have any of you ever had to use crutches and you know how your arms get sore and you rely on other parts of the body? If one part doesn't work well, then the other parts have to compensate for that. And it's critical that the whole body works together. Dizzy Dean. Those of you who are older remember Dizzy Dean as he would broadcast baseball games. He started out his career as a pitcher, but his career was cut short because of an injury, and it was an odd injury. You'd think it would be an injury to his pitching arm, but it wasn't. He was hit on his big toe by a fastball, and because his toe was injured, that threw his form off, and he never fully recovered his ability to pitch. You know, every part must do its share, or others will have to compensate, and that hinders the growth and the functioning of the whole body. In a good team, you need everyone. Well, it all begins with humility. We've been called to be part of this team called a church, and we all have unique contributions, and we all need to function in the area where we have been gifted by God, and when we do, then we are on a team that is a winning team. And that's a great place to be. I'm grateful that we have a congregation here that is a church where everyone can have a part, whether you're old or whether you're young, whether you're a new Christian or whether you've been a part of the family of God for years and years. There's room for everybody to serve on this team. Jesus Christ is our head. He paid the price. He is the one we honor. He is the one we follow. And if this morning you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, and if you are ready to make a commitment to Him and submit your life to Him, we will gladly assist you as you render obedience to Him. If you're here today and you need this body of believers to pray for you, that is not only our joy to do, that is our responsibility as brothers and sisters to care for each other. And we'll stop right now and pray for you. If you need to come, we want to invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.